This is going to be God's Game of Thrones, episode number 10. And we're going to talk about King Noah. You know the story. You have all of these wicked people, giants, fallen angels, strange counterfeit life on the planet. But there's a man named Noah who finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. 2 Peter 2:5 calls him a preacher of righteousness, while the rest of the world was called ungodly. Genesis 6:9 said he is perfect in his generations. Ezekiel 14:14 shows Noah had his own righteousness. Genesis 8:20 shows how he sacrificed animals just like Abel and just like Adam and Eve had to do. Noah shows up on the scene a little after 1,000 years after the creation. He would have known men who knew Adam personally. And there is only 8 men between Noah and Adam. And Seth, Adam's son, died around the time of Noah's birth. Methuselah, Noah's papaw, knew Adam. Imagine the stories he could have told him. Imagine what was on this earth during the days of Methuselah. Nothing says that the cherubim wouldn't still be guarding the way of the tree of life before the flood. So imagine what Noah saw with his eyes in his 900 and something years. Noah was a just man living right in a wicked time. In Genesis 6:5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." So this is King Noah, living in the days when the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. He's living in those days, those wicked days. God tells Noah to build an ark and only put one door in the side of the ark. This pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the door. He is our only way to safety from the wrath of God, just like the ark was for Noah and his family. Genesis 6:16 says, "A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." So there was also an opening put in the side of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross, making a way for sinners to be saved. We get in the body of Christ through believing on him and what he did on the cross to be our payment for sin. John 19:34 says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." So the Lord had an opening in his side, just like the ark. After the flood, the Lord gave the token of his covenant with Noah. And many refer to this as the Noahic covenant, or the dispensation of human government. Genesis 9:13, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." And the devil wants to pervert the rainbow. As former king of both kingdoms in God's Game of Thrones, he doesn't like any covenant that God makes with man. He steals the token of this covenant for his false kingdom, and he makes it a symbol of sexual perversion in this age that we are in today. He makes it represent things of sexual perversion. After the flood, the Lord delivers everything into the hand of Noah and gives him all things. He is the new king. However, this time, this king is only king of the kingdom of heaven. He's not king over the kingdom of God. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, is still a sinner because he got it from his great-great-great-grandpa Adam. So he was a sinner, and there was no new birth yet that could make him a son of God. Therefore, he can't be king over the kingdom of God. He's only king of the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, sons of God are saved people in the Old Testament. Okay, then what are sons of God doing in the third heaven in Job chapter 1? Do you believe the Old Testament saints went to the third heaven instead of paradise in the heart of the earth in the Old Testament? The sons of God in Job 1 are obviously not saved people. The sons of God in Job 38, who were here when God laid the foundations of the earth, couldn't be saved people because they were here before Adam and Eve were here. But as part of this Noahic covenant, men can now eat animals. Genesis 9:3-4 says, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat." Notice the drinking of blood is forbidden. And this is why the devil influences men to have drink offerings of blood in honor of himself. Also, capital punishment is instituted. It wasn't before. And this is why Cain wasn't killed for murdering Abel. Capital punishment hadn't come yet. Genesis 9:5-6, it says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." So notice these things aren't just for Noah. Being a dispensationalist doesn't mean you disregard everything other than Paul's epistles, as non-dispensationalists would force you to believe about the dispensationalists. We can still eat animals today. Drinking of blood is still forbidden today, and capital punishment is still for today. So all these things that we've just discussed apply still for today. Now, Noah was approached by the former king, who has the power of death. And Satan gets in and messes with the new king, and Noah gets drunk. After this, it isn't said that God uses him anymore. So the former king of both kingdoms, Lucifer, the devil, continues to knock out the new kings. Satan goes to the people in Babylon and gets them to create a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. In Genesis 11:4-7, it says, "And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So that's the Tower of Babel. And this kingdom under Noah and his sons doesn't work out well. You see that man fails again. Even after the flood, even after the fresh start, they fell again. And God makes the next move and has to come down and confound their language because they get together against him. A lot of people who are trying to get together, they want to get together but don't want God in there. They want to get together and try to do great things without God. But I can imagine how Noah felt when he seen the Tower of Babel being built and all these wicked things coming to pass from his grandkids. See, these would be all his grandkids here. For example, Nimrod would be a grandson of Noah. And I can imagine how he felt when he got up and seen these things before his eyes. Just like you should feel when you get up and you see the wicked things going on in this world. It should move you to pray. It should move you to read your Bible more, to live right more, and to go on staying in fellowship with God more. Because you never know when God's going to pull the rug out from under this thing and the rapture take place and the world go into the tribulation. But this has been God's Game of Thrones, episode number 9 on King Noah.